you, Andrew. It's really a privilege to be here. And just look at you lovely people. I'm, on the one hand, embarrassed that I'm preaching because I'm not this great preacher. I'm just an ordinary guy. But like Andrew said, while I was criticizing Chris Wienand in Durban in my early 20s and thinking, bit of a flop, but I was interested and I thought, I'm not going to do this. And I used to leave meetings with such an opinion. On the one day, the elbow of heaven elbowed me in my side and says, don't worry, you'll be doing it one day. And that's what Andrew's speaking about. Sometimes God arrests you. But I'm saying that I'm embarrassed to be here because in my heart, I think some of you could be doing this in the most extraordinary and exquisite way in the city, what I'm doing tonight. Can anybody say amen? So, Cutty, just come up here, please. This is my wife, Cutty. She doesn't like coming to the front, So Cutty, I met her when she was 14. We kind of connected more than just marriage. We got history, but I looked at her when she was 14. I met her with her mom at a shopping center. I saw her a few years later at a stop street, and I put down my window, and there was a mutual friend and Cutty, and I looked at her, and I thought, this is interesting. And then I saw Cutty. I'm getting somewhere, don't worry. And in case you're wanting to know, like a prophetic ministry is always a dangerous ministry. So that's what it is. But I then saw it a movie and I'd ask God for a wife. I said, God, I earnestly ask you for a wife. I'm not going to choose her. It was a very nervous statement. And then I saw Katya in a movie. Game on. It took me 5 years to finally net her, but I got her, okay? And I think that actually God looked for a man that would husband a woman because he had called her into ministry. God called a lady into ministry and said, I need a man to walk alongside of her. And I want the ladies to stand in this church, please. How's that moment? I don't know why, but while I'm worshiping, I'm just sensing, get the ladies to stand. I want to say to you ladies, first of all, you're beautiful. You're beautiful ladies. And when the Spirit of God comes upon you and the glow of God comes upon you, you become even more beautiful. And I want to say to you that God has got plans for you. And I want to say to you, would you ask God, Spirit, to fill you, that you are a transformed woman and that the insecurities and sometimes the self-hate. And the reason I say it is because I said it once that God had called Cutty into ministry and looked for a husband to walk alongside of her. I didn't mean that she would lead the church, but I realized how important Cutty has been in my life, in the life of Red Point Church. She has been massive. She is massively important in our home. She is massively important in our family. And I want to speak a word of life. And I want to speak a word of God's glow upon you, ladies. And I want to speak a life of actually God's authority. You're princesses. And if we are the bride of Christ, you show us that way. Can I repeat that? If we are the church, if we are the bride of Christ, you are the ones that show us the way. And we were on holiday, and I might have said this in a sabbatical, and I felt I lost Cutty. I lost her to heaven. I felt she'd become a nun. And come back, you know, like, and because she took occasion to seek God. She took occasion to, I mean, she would spend a lot of time in the Word. And once I like moaning to God, I said, Lord, can I have my wife back, please? I want to like just jaw with her a bit and kiss her a little bit and stuff. You know, like she was always in the Word. And she's got a place in a room with a pillow and she kneels there and she seeks God. Sorry, baby, I know you. But the reason I'm saying is because do you know how beautiful that is? To have a wife. And it's got zero to do with me. I'm not the hero of the story. I'm the villain. No, I'm not the villain. I'm just an average guy, okay? But actually, she has found traction in God. And she's found the Word. And she's found a place. And she's found time in the Word. She's found time in prayer. And man, am I blessed. Man, am I blessed. And I'm going to get up there one day with a big chest, because I've got to present it, and the Lord, and I'm going to get there and kind of be a little bit proud, and God says, sit down, Nick, it had nothing to do with you, and it doesn't. But so can I just say this in earnestness and under the Spirit of the living God, ladies, go for it. Ladies, ladies, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Sow your life into Jesus. If you're not married, ask God for a good husband. Let me be the best husband. Just give me a good husband, God. I want to serve you with all my heart. Thank you, Kat. You're a hero to me. Please be seated. And so I don't stand up here alone. I do not stand up here alone. I stand up here with my very special bride and partner, and it hasn't always been easy. Learning how to hear God, to operate in all spheres. This is my brief tonight, Andrew. How to hear God and walk well with God personally. How do you do that? How do you hear God and walk well corporately? That's another thing. So I can hear God for myself. I was saved an independent guy. I wasn't saved in the church world. I had to learn how to walk well together. I could walk very well alone. Funny, when I got saved at about 18, I mean, I got saved thoroughly. I was firing for Jesus, but I had no clue how to operate corporately. And I struggled and I limped and I had like foot and mouth disease. I always used to like ham the thing, you know. And people would think, oh, just, this guy's saying crazy things. I didn't know how to hear God for us. But God had plans and He had set a trajectory for me. And He has set a trajectory for you to be able to hear God personally, powerfully, intimately, for your degrees, for your future, for your spouse, for where to go, for what to say yay to, for what to say nay to. But He also then shapes you as a living stone and He plugs you into the temple and you're a living stone. And into that corporate temple, He dwells with His Spirit. So as you walked into the door, all of you were filled with the Spirit. You had the power and the presence of God. And then suddenly there's a corporate dynamic. And how do we do that well? How do we hear that well? Some of us have a bachelor spirit, a wandering spirit, a nomadic spirit. A spirit that almost, when I say spirit, a personhood, a spiritual personhood that lacks space. I used to have to worship in a space by myself. That's how far gone I was. And I think, what's wrong with you? I said to a guy, I need space to worship. Like dingbat, you know, like, who's this guy? God says, listen, Nick, you're part of my body, bro. You're part of my bride. You are one. And so how do you do that? How do you hear God for me? And how do you hear God for yourself? And how do you hear God for us? How do you hear your leader for you? How do you hear your leader or leaders for us? I've heard guys say, this is an incredible rugby player. He can take knocks. He's got a great sidestep. He's got good hands. But he can't play together. I mean, he's the perfect guy you want to go and pick. And he's good when he's bouncing the ball and doing his thing. But the moment the game plays, it's like, where's this guy? Or he's holding on to the ball all the time. Or he won't take the ball. And so you might have the skill and the call and the talent. And part of what I feel tonight, Andrew's brief to me, is how do we operate together well? But in order to operate together well, we need to learn how to operate here well. Can somebody give me an amen? Jesus is building His church, and He is the master builder. And as Andrew said, after a while, if you get a revelation of Jesus, I'm overwhelmed with Jesus. He is my everything. He is bigger to me than just about everything. I prefer Jesus to everything. Help me, Lord. I'm going crazy here. But I've looked at Jesus. The more I look at Him, the more I study Him. I hope to be one day like John. When I see Him, I'll fall as though dead. He is my vision. He is everything. He is the filler of the universe. He is the bright morning star. Jesus is everything. And He is the one that says, through you, Nick, I will build. You're the guy that'll do the digging. I want you to mix more cement in that concrete, please. And I want you to lay more rib iron. And I want you to dig a deeper trench. And I take that wall down, that wall skew. It's like, come on, Jesus, please. Because tonight, right, Nick, relax. The wall is skewed. Take it down. I want to build it straight. He's the master architect, and He builds the blueprints. And He's preparing a bride for Himself that's glorious. How do you participate in that? How do you get involved in what God is doing? People have said to me, Nick, what's your vision? My vision is Jesus. My vision is Jesus. In fact, everything about Him sucks me in. So when He says He's building His church, He is the founder, the architect. He is he's the cornerstone. He is everything. And he says, I want you to get involved in what I'm doing. I used to say, God, get involved in what I'm doing. So very quickly, you look at Abraham, didn't think of the story of Genesis chapter 12. Abraham didn't say, listen, I'm going to have some kids. I'm going to be a father of nations. Actually, Abraham just, like he was parking off, and God says, Abby! Sorry. And he says, somebody's got my attention. I'm going to make you a father of nations. I'm going to bless you. Those that bless you will be blessed, and you will be a blessing. And suddenly Abraham, who's like strolling along, his father got a bit waylaid, got stuck in Haran, I think it was, and he said, Abraham, come and I will do something exquisite with you. There's no ways that Abraham could have thought up the story that Abraham lived. And so God invites us to a story. Now people say, like, what's your plan? I don't have a 10-year plan. I've learned to walk with the Spirit. I'm saying, God, please include me in your story. So while we sat under the stars in Durban, in Belito, it was more, hey, Lord, please involve us in your story. Please, we want to get involved in the big story. And so when Moses was hanging around a little forlorn, a bit old, 80, lost his way, not with his people, not with the Jews, his people, or not with even with Pharaoh. He is with Midian, and he's like out there. And suddenly God appears to him. This bush is burning. And he like goes up to see, and God says, hey, Moses, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. The ground was made holy because God was present. And if you look at that particular story, which I've looked at this afternoon again, it's a beautiful story because Moses had no concept of what God was doing. But the moment God invited Moses into that story, it became an exquisite story. Just look at it quickly with me, if you can, in Exodus. Let's just look at it here in Exodus 3. The word I appears 21 times. He says, and he says, Moses, and he says, here I am. Here's Moses. And then the Lord said to him, I'm the Lord your God, etc., etc. The Lord said, I have seen the misery. And I've preached this here before, but please listen. You see, God's saying, I'm involved. I'm seeing. I have heard. I am concerned. You can go and read up with them. All underlined in green, double underlined. I have come down. In other words, I'm in the bush. It's me. I'm here. I'm manifesting myself in a burning bush. Take your sandals off. This is holy. There's something going on right here, right now, tonight for some of you. Right here, right now. If the Spirit of God is among his people, he can encounter you. And suddenly what appears to be a burning bush, which I'm sure there were many burning bushes, as you've seen burning bushes all over the place in the Cape. But because God is in that burning bush, it's holy. Because God is manifesting himself in the most ordinary place, the old shepherd. He says, hey, listen, bud, this is a moment right now, right here, when I can do something powerful in your life. Somebody say amen to me. I'm fighting for souls here. I'm fighting for mission here. I have come down, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you. What's the deal? The deal is, God is saying, I've got a mission. Friends, our mission always ends up in dead end street, dust road street. But the moment you get involved in the God story, so I read the stories again and again and saying, God, how does this story apply to my life? And we know it says, I'm sending you. But Moses says, who am I? Nobody. I get up here and sometimes people, I say, I'm nobody. And people say, well, no, you mustn't say this. You're a pastor. But who am I? Moses. Moses is like, oh, kill him. And he's so aggro, that guy. He's got such a vicious hook. He's got such an anger problem. He kills people by mistake. He's the wrong kind of guy. But God said, listen, Moses, it's just, fact is, buddy, I'm sending you to do something extraordinary. And when he says, who am I that I should go? God says, I will be with you, Moses. That's why it's a, you see, if we can get into that zone, that place. You know, people say I'm prophetic governmental. I'm not prophetic crazy, spiritual crazy. I struggle with the weird, brothers and sisters. I struggle with some of the things that happen in the charismatic church. Sometimes I think, Lord, this couldn't have happened. I love the Holy Spirit. I'm a spirit man. And I love to read these stories to see how God took a broken man, a lost man, a forlorn man, A man who stuttered, a man who struggled, and he said, I will involve you in my story. Who among us tonight is weak and forlorn and broken and struggling and weak-kneed and stuttering? God wants to use you. Which lady here, can I tell you something about Cutty? The first time she preached, she went blood red. Now she gets invited and I carry her Bible. Moses said, suppose I go to the Israelites. Moses said, what is his name? And God says, I am. The I comes up again and again. It's a beautiful story. If you get it, friends, you get so much. I don't know why God wants to choose you. I don't know what you're doing here tonight. But this is a nursery. This is, I've said it every time I come. This is a group of people that God wants to thrust out. He wants to thrust you out. And he wants you to be doing what this guy's doing. Jesus. You know what's interesting about Moses? When the things got heated, and God said, I'll tell you what, Exodus 33, big text for me. Things are getting heated. People are gathering around Aaron because Aaron's always concerned about the people, what the people think, and people are talking. And Moses gone up the mountain to hear God, and the people have got Aaron, they got them smoggled. And then eventually God says, listen, I'm tired. I tell you what, I'll send an angel with you. And Moses says, I ain't going anywhere with an angel. I don't want an angel church. In fact, if you've got an angel church today, you could have a church of 10,000. But he says, but if I go with you, I'm scared that I might destroy the people because they're stiff-necked. And Moses, the genius guy, the guy that's learned to walk, he says, he begins to serenade his God. He begins to dance with his God. He says, hey, you haven't told me who's going. And God sees the hearts of Moses saying, listen, even if it's dangerous, I'm not going with an angel. I want you to be with us. How will they know? And there's this beautiful Exodus 33 story. And I've thought, if you want the presence of God in your life, it might be that he fingers the rubbish in your life. He says, enough. That your conscience goes ballistic when you're doing the wrong thing. That actually you are a man or a woman that doesn't, because you see, angels, God said, listen, if I go, I'll destroy, but send an angel. The angel will kind of just lead you and kind of, but if I go with you, and I'm saying, God, I know it's dangerous, but I know that sometimes I want your passion. I want your spirit. I want you, God. I want to cry out to you like Abraham said, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And people say, Nick, how do you walk by the Spirit? Well, sometimes I walk well and sometimes I walk badly. But at 57 on holiday, I cry out to the name of God. I said, Lord, I call upon your name. For what? Am I talking too loudly, Cutty? I cry out to God for the promises and the fulfillment of the word that he gave me that I want to see come to pass. Because when he said to Abraham, listen, you're going to be a father. And he said, listen, even Lot left me. And now my wife's going nuts and she's saying I'm asleep with Hagar because she's got strong hips and we can have a baby through her. And I listen to her and I got Ishmael. Now there's trouble in my house. This is a mess. This is a mess. I thought God would call me and now I'm all going dilly with this other girl and I don't know what's happening and I got sin involved in my life. And I'm lying about my wife because Pharaoh wants her. Now she's my sister. Just get away from me, God. Just get away from me, God. But what he does, this guy, he calls upon the name of the Lord. He's saying, God, the things that you said of me, let them be fulfilled. Let them be fulfilled. The things that you have said of me, the devil, the circumstances, even your own family, even in this case, his own wife saying, listen, I can't wait anymore. I'm sick and tired of these promises. No, I called upon the name of the Lord. Jesus got involved in what his father was doing. He didn't send himself. God sent Jesus. You see, friends, we don't even send ourselves. But if you will get the Spirit of God, know how to operate in your own life, know what's going on in church on Main. Understand how this works. Understand the holy bride. Understand the body of Christ. You will do well. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. I can't even send myself. You can't send yourself. But if you will walk by the Spirit, in the Spirit, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, if you'll track the stories of Abraham and Moses and Joshua, and you'll see how Samson got all puffed up about his gift. And you say, I don't want to do that. I want to learn how. What happened with David? I don't know if you read The Tale of Three Kings. Oh, I love that book. And David's out there, man. He's probably got a couple of fleas on him. And he's tending his sheep. And he's probably just throwing stones. And he can smack a branch. He can smack a leaf. He's so good. And then he sees a figure running at him on the horizon. He says, hey, I wonder who that is. And eventually he says, that's my butt. That's my butt. He's come to call me. And the butt arrives panting and half dead. And he's running, a few kilometers, because probably David's out looking. And he says, go back. There's somebody at the house. He says, what do you mean? Just run. What do you mean? Just go back to the house. There's somebody that needs you. He says, what for? Who's going to look after my sheep? I look after your sheep. Go, David. And you can imagine David running and stopping and maybe drinking. I'm just embellishing the story. And eventually he gets there, and there's this old gray-haired guy, and the family's a little bit trembling, because that's what happens when the prophet Samuel comes. And there he is, guaranteed he was sweating. Guaranteed he was smelling of sheep. Guaranteed he was like ruddy and... Hang on, get on your knees, boy. Why? Because I'm going to anoint you. To do what? To look after my people. Imagine that kid, like dirty, you know, mud in his ears. I don't know, when he hit a golf ball, mud jumps up and cuts a good mud on your face. I'm sure David was tired and panting and sheepy, smelling. And he says, hey, I love my God. And God says, I've looked all over Israel. I have looked high and low. And I found one, a man after my own heart. And that old prophet pours the oil on that boy's head. And the Holy Spirit comes upon him in power, the Bible says. Game on. And now you go to the front lines. Go and give your brother some cheese. What milk? Cheese, Tomo? What is it? Milk, ham? I don't know what. Goats, whatever. And he's there and he's thinking, oh, what's going on here? What's happening? Something of the Spirit of God rises in him for the church. And he says, I see the war cries and I see the trembling and I see some clown 9 foot. Easy meat for me. The Spirit of God wells up within him and he puts his life on the line, brothers and sisters. And he takes out Goliath. Jesus, I do nothing on my own, but speak just what my Father has taught me. Imagine living a life where you can hear God for yourself, where the Spirit of God can lead you, where God begins to open doors for you, where you operate beautifully and magnificently and like a smooth stone in a local church. Who shall go? Who shall I send? Who will go? Isaiah just had a revelation of God. Here am I. Send me. I do not speak my own, says Jesus on accord, but only the Father who sent me. Let me read that again. I do not speak my own on my own accord, but the Father who sent me commands me what to say and how to say it. My teachings are not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Peter was a fisherman mending his nets and minding his own fishing business. That's what happened. And Jesus said, get away from sinful. He says, Peter, follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. And when Peter lost his way, and when Peter sinned, and when Peter denied, and when Peter cursed, and he went back fishing, and God saw him again, what did he say to him? Pete, because Pete, of course, you see, Pete had a passion for God. There's one thing about Peter is that, he was a mixed up kid, but he had a passion for God. And I'm saying to you tonight, if you have, you might say, listen, I've made mistakes, Nick. I'm saying it's okay. Make sure you repent. Just say, Lord, go to somebody and say, listen, I've messed up. But I tell you what, it's one thing to mess up, but it is a beautiful thing to have a passion for the living God. And this Peter, when he saw Jesus being the impulsive Peter, he couldn't help himself and he launched out the boat. And what did Jesus say to him? Pete, do you love me? He said, well, why do you ask me that question? Because if I didn't love you, would I have jumped out of the boat and left all the fish with other guys? And here I am because you know that I love you. And he says, go and catch some more fish. No, he didn't say that. He said, feed my lambs. He said, you got the wrong guy. I'm a fisherman. I'm not a shepherd. Pete, do you love me? Well, you know that. Well, go and tend my sheep. Go and feed my lambs 3 times. You see, when you get involved in the operation of the Spirit, in the operation of God, he will send you and he will command you and he will lead you. Can somebody say amen? Paul is an angry Pharisee who wants to kill people. And God, in his wonder, probably just shows him a little dot of his face because a bright light shone. And he fell to the ground blind and he didn't eat for 3 days and he didn't drink anything for 3 days. and he had an encounter with the living God. And this timid guy called Ananias, what is Ananias, Tomo? Just a guy. He's just a guy, you know. He's saying, okay, Ananias, there's a guy that's come, you know, goes, you know, on this, there's a guy that's come, just go and lay your hands on him. He says, no, I can't go and lay. He says, go, bro, go and lay your hands on him, because this guy, I've called him. So he was going in this way, and God just plucks him and say, come with me, Kati, come with me. Kati said, you didn't want to marry a missionary or an accountant. She got both. And she didn't want to go into ministry. That's what she got. Because you see, God is the director of the universe and our lives. Please, somebody say amen. Please, guys, if you get this, because he is the Lord. He is not just the Savior. He is the Lord. And some of you are thinking, I'm going to kill this guy. He's messing with my future. Brothers and sisters, this morning I told the tale of two builders, but there's the tale of two gates. It's the narrow gate and the wide gate. I say to you, as a trying to be a cool 57-year-old, if I was to do it again, and I've been in business, and I've had nice cars and nice houses, and I've had important jobs, if I was to do it all over again, I'd say, Lord, please could you have used me earlier? Please could you have put your hand upon me earlier? Please, Lord, I wanted to do more. And I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, let God get involved in the operation of God. Let him teach you about walking by the Spirit. Let him teach you about walking together corporately. Why are so few of us struggling to walk together corporately? Maybe I shouldn't say that. How can we learn to walk together better corporately? How's this cool church? I wish you could see it from here. We came in here when it was Department of Home Affairs. It was chaotic. Now look. Now look. Now look at your coffee. Now look at these people here. Now look at the operation of the Spirit of God working here. Some of your lives have been dramatically changed. You know my favorite character in the Bible? Okay, apart from Jesus. Apart from Jesus. I'm an ex-Catholic. Mary. Do you know that the Spirit of God comes upon her and says, Mary, yes, Lord, you will be with child. Excuse me? You know, Mary, you're highly favored and you will be with child. Whoopsie. I ask you the question, did Mary, who bore Jesus, have a choice? Well, we could argue it, but as I read the two accounts of the story of Mary, I'm overwhelmed by the thought that the Spirit of God, and what does she say? Be it to me according to your will. Man, she would suffer. She would have can you imagine meeting Mary when we meet her one day? I'll be first in the queue. I'll say, I've got to meet you. What about Elijah? And I like Elijah, but I want to, or Jesus, but Mary, I want to say, ma'am, I just want to. What did you feel at the cross, Mary? What was it like at the cross to see this mystery of the Son of God born through your own womb? And you saw him up there saying, forgive them for they don't know what they do. And you knew that they knew what they were doing. But the Son, he kept on saying, hide their shame. Smash me. Pour your wrath upon me. But no, do not accord the sin to their account. They don't know what they're doing. Punish me. Punish me, my very crucifiers. What is it like, Mary, when your Son rose again and you saw him? What is it like to see him ascended? I meet her. Mary, I'm not sure she had a choice. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you, he will guide you into all truth. Well, like, I'm not a spiritual guy. I'm very tactile. I'm just like a head guy. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. What am I to do here? I'm tired of waiting, God. I'm just going to move. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I'm just leaving out a whole lot of stuff. We live in an age of the Holy Spirit. What I did during worship, I looked in my phone at the word Spirit in the book of Acts. There is an overwhelming sense of the Spirit of God filling, baptizing, releasing people. So I say, live by the Spirit. And I say, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So the Spirit guides us. We keep in step with the Spirit. We are a people full of the Word. Full of the Word. In fact, if you want to be Spirit-led, you have to be seriously grounded in this Word. You've got to know the Word. Now, I don't have a great memory, but I've chosen to read this Word. I read it and reread it, and I want to get the story again. I want to hear it again. I want to understand, because I have a prophetic disposition. The prophets lose their mind. The Spirit-led people go crazy. They say crazy things. They lose touch. They cut. And they get into trouble. But we are to be a people that are led by the Spirit. We are to keep in step with the Spirit. So, Mark, come, buddy. So we are to be led by the Spirit. We are to be full of the Word. We are to be led by the Spirit. You've got to be saying, Holy Spirit. You've got to be praying in the Spirit. I don't know how to pray. The Spirit teaches me. So Mark, would you come here? Can I blindfold you?
Yeah.
Have you done this before, Thomas? Can you see, Mark?
I'll close my eyes.
Close your eyes. All right, come. Now just turn around a couple of times. You mustn't talk, so you mustn't know where you are. Okay, so we don't walk by the lamp of our own lights, but we are led by the Spirit. We are keeping step with the Spirit. We can hear the voice of the Spirit. So, Mark, how are you, brother? Yes. Okay, so, Mark, won't you turn left? Just turn left. Okay? Now turn left again. Turn left again. Okay, now take a step forward. Take another step forward. Okay, Mark, there's a step coming. Okay, there's a step about 6 inches away. So take a step. You're down. Take a step down. Good. Okay. All right, there's another step. Okay, there's another step. Okay, another step. One more step. Okay. So now, Mark, turn right. Start walking right. Go, Mark. Keep walking. Don't be afraid, Mark. Walk, walk. Okay, go left, go left, go left, Mark. Go left. Okay, keep going a little bit quicker, Mark. You're very slow at the moment. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Okay, stop, Mark. Okay, so the Spirit was like preoccupied. Okay, turn left, Mark. Turn left, Mark. Turn left, Mark. Okay, more left. Okay, now walk, Mark. Quite briskly. Trust me, Mark. Trust me. Trust me. Okay, turn left. Walk. Okay, walk, Mark. Walk briskly, 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 briskly. Okay, stop, Mark. Okay, turn left. Turn left. Okay, walk a bit more. Walk, turn left. Okay, other left. Okay, now, Mark, I want you to take 10 steps. Go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, stop, Mark. Okay, turn a little bit right. Okay, take a step and a half. Another step. Another step. Okay, now turn around, Mark. You weren't meant to do that. Turn around. Now sit down, Mark. A good Mark. Keep in step with the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit of God came upon the disciples. And they came, they lived in a certain power. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. What is prophetic leadership, guys? So let me land this, and maybe I can pray. Because I'm trusting that you will go to another level of saying, God. You see, friends, if we rush out and if we get distracted and all this stuff, and I mean, I don't know how we're going to do this in 2020 with the distractions and the media and the stuff and the raging, and I don't know how we're going to do it. But somehow we're going to have to fight a big battle us. Somehow we're going to have to say, God, I've got to find you, my Lord. I've got to find you, God. I can't just run like a crazy guy. I've got to find you. And so what happens, and this is from John Tyson that I'm borrowing, is that, just to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 12. They return to Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1, verse 12. They return to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room. Jesus is gone. He's ascended. He's just ascended. I don't have time to read it. These guys are gathering, and it's a gathering of guys that is probably the most wild gathering of guys. Who was there? They were saying, those present were Peter. Okay, this is the Peter that's pull out a sword. He's still not filled with the Spirit. Okay, he's still a bit of a dangerous guy. John and James, these are the sons of thunder. Remember, they wanted to call down trouble. Remember, these are not tame guys. We think these are nice little happy choir boys. These are not. These are strong men and women. Andrew, Philip, Thomas, doubting Thomas. Unless I stick my hand in his side, I won't believe. They still are not filled with the Spirit, by the way. They're still kind of a bit edgy, raw. They're kind of a bit wild, but they've been told to wait. Here's doubting Thomas, who said, my Lord, my God. But he says, unless, you know what I'm saying? This is quite a group of guys. Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, the zealot. Hey, zealots. A zealot's got a big opinion on everything. You know, Peter says, we're going there. Simon, the zealot, says, hey, we're not going there. This is what thing. And he's looking up the law in Isaiah, and he's trying to. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Now, Mary's still trying to deal with who she really was, the son of the mother of Jesus, and she's got her own stuff to deal with. And so there's this group of people, and they have gathered together in a room, how many, 120 about of them, and suddenly the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and something extraordinary happens. Just quickly now look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32. This is the result of a community of eclectic and wild and different people, all manner of lives. Jesus is gone. The Holy Spirit comes upon them. We know Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, Acts chapter 4. This is the fruit of being united by the Spirit into one body. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Okay, here it is. Here's the corporate anointing. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales and put them at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. And so they brought. It was an amazing picture. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Now there's trouble. Now this is a while later. Now the guys have been leaking a bit. Now there's Paul is saying, oh, I've got to. It's a while later. And this is what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says. And so I'm arguing tonight for corporate anointing, personal anointing, knowing God, living in his fullness, enjoying him, walking on the beach. I preached some sermons by the St. Francis or the Cape St. Francis Lighthouse. They just poured out of me. I just preached them aloud to the fynbos. I said, Spirit, fill me, man. I want your word to burst. And I got back. I said, Katya, I preached one of the best sermons I've ever heard. I said, Lord, teach me about the gospel again. I want to get the gospel. So I said, can I preach a sermon? Because I think with my mouth. So I preached and I thought, I want to be filled with your Spirit, God. It was like I almost went into a trance. Do you want God in our lives? I do. I want the Holy Spirit. And so he says here, because now there's a little bit of trouble in Ephesus and they're like leaking and they got into a bit of a pickle. So he says, as a prisoner of the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So Grant, what's your calling? And are you living a life worthy of that calling? You know what, guys? If there is a calling, there is a caller. Where's my caller? Who's called me? I forgot. What did he call me to? Live a life worthy. I don't even know what my calling is. Thomas, I've got to have coffee with you. Grant, Mark, Nick, I've got to have coffee with you. What's my calling? I don't know. Do you know the caller? Kind of. Live a life worthy. I'm a prisoner, man. I'm done. I'm an apostle. They've chained me. I'm writing letters. It's damp. There's cockroaches. I mean, I'm chained. You have to go now. You, please, you. Guys, Ephesians, stop arguing about divisions and factions and stop getting drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He's arguing. He's saying, listen, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. Why in the church of God do we struggle with humility and gentleness? Be completely humble and gentle. How's that? Now the operation of the Spirit works corporately. Bearing with one another, which means I've got to carry Mark. I carry Mark. Sometimes Mark's struggling. I bear with him. I carry him. I lifted a guy up the other day in church. I carried him for a while. I was panting. And what I didn't do is when I put him down, I said, okay, can you bear me, your pastor? He says, what? Like, no, you're okay. No, I need you to carry me. Andrew, the elder, sometimes you carry them. Because one day you'll be a pastor or your son. My dad didn't believe in tithing, you know. He said, no, tithing's not good. So I said, it is. And then until his son went into ministry and he believed in tithing. Because actually, he said, how are you going to educate your son, Nick? So I said, I'm not sure. But so he said, well, where are you going to get the money from? I mean, his family, they're all big business people. My family, they said, well, you're stupid. I said, no, I'm going to look after God's flock and I'm going to have to humble myself. I've got to live off the tithe. It was so offensive to me. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, carrying one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, capital. So what's the unity of the Spirit in this church? The unity of the Spirit, capital, through the bond or the belt or the joining. The bond of peace means peace. Peace means shalom. So when I go to Grant and I say, hey, I say shalom, which means, what does shalom mean?
Peace.
Peace. Keep going. Well-being, happiness. But you know what it also means? It's been paid for. Grant, it's been paid for.
Nick, it's been paid for.
You know that the Jew, when you say shalom, it means we have a God. He's paid for us. He's gone ahead of us. He's got a farm for us. He's got a field for us. He's redeemed us. He's paid for our sins. He's blotted our sins away. It's been paid for. Bond of peace, bond of shalom. We mates, man. We mates. We're going to hang out together. One brother goes walkabout. Say, come back. Come back. Bond of peace. Get him. Complete unity. I know I've got to stop preaching. Make everybody together. Unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. So he's saying, individual call, corporate. So make sure what you're calling, get the caller. Bond of peace, unity of the Spirit, all these seven things. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. My hat. God has put us together in a body. Unity of the heart, unity of the Spirit, diversity of ministry. Then he goes on to say, but each one, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. One guy's an apostle. One guy's a prophet, or a whole lot of guys. We've got, I've just done a survey of our church. Who's an apostle? Who's a prophet? We've got six apostles. We've got 60 teachers just amongst our leadership group. We've got 16 prophets. But we are unified, and then all those ministries shoot out. But we know that the teacher and the prophet might be different, but he then sends us out and all those ministries from one heart, Church on Main, one church, one Spirit, one word, one baptism, one unity, each with his call. Then coming together, then God shooting us. Dudley Daniel was a genius to me, if I can use that word. Why? He said, because I said, I got to plant a church in Mauritius. He said, go and do it. I said, well, when will you come? He said, I'm not coming. He said, I trust you, Nick. He said, take Peter Hart Brown with you. So I said, okay. He said, you know, if we want in heart, you can do anything. I thought, how cool is that? We went to Brazil. We said, Dudley, you're coming to Brazil. There's a whole work. He says, yeah, I trust you guys. Go. Unity of the Spirit, unity of hearts, plethora and kaleidoscope of ministries. You can read it on. You can read on. It just explodes into oneness and boom. We minister together. So who will go out? Who will be filled with the Spirit? Who will be filled with the Spirit in their home, in their house, on the beach, whatever you do? I'm a surf skier. I just paddle, man. And when I'm on my own, I just enjoy God. I just enjoy God. Work on my technique a little bit, my balance. I bought a faster boat. I'm a bit scared of the sharks. So I pray more. But I paddle, man. I say, Jesus, oh, I love you. Love you, God. Spirit, fill me. Fill me, Spirit. I want to know who you are. I want to operate in the power of my anointing. Why? Not for me, guys. For us. I met a lady this morning. Third row. She responded to the gospel. So I'm thinking, okay, so we chat. Oh, yeah. We saw in a plane. I don't know if you're here tonight. But then I'm standing. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, now operation of the Spirit, please. Please give me something for her. That's all I do. So I'm standing there. I'm saying, okay, Lord, I'm interested now. Now, please, would you give her a gift through me? That's all I'm doing. I'm not nothing clever. So it doesn't take me long. So I said, can I pray with you? So she says, I'd love you to. And then she begins to share her heart. Is Dee, are you here tonight? Sorry, maybe I can speak. She said, you know, I've never known Jesus. I said, well, now the prophetic operates. Now you see, I have a gift for the prophetic. So now the prophetic comes. I said, you know, God is going to take you on a romance. He's going to dance with you. He's going to teach you about himself. And I went on and on. What is that? That's just the gift operating. But guys, I'm not saying, oh, how's that? You're like, I'm a bit tired. I preach. What are we having for lunch, Kati? I want a pizza, please. God, I'm tracking with you, my Lord. I'm interested. I want to know. I'm interested in your people. I'm interested in the gifts. Thomas, I don't have no clue how to land this. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray. A young man said to me, I visited your church and you called me out and you said I'm a leader. And he said, you know, when you said that, Nick, and I'm not saying this to point attention to myself, I'm saying this to you that you will operate in your gifts, that you'll operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever your gift is. I prophesied over in Durban, he actually came to Cape Town, he lost his way. And he used to walk up Table Mountain, a little bit angry, frustrated, distant from God. But he said, some guy in Durban called Nick said to me, I'm a leader. He said, I'm not a leader's little pinky toe. And I'm a little bit angry and I'm a little bit tense. And he said, but that thing just kept on there in his brain. Because you see, and he went walkabout, maybe like the prodigal, I'm exaggerating. I ordained him the other day. He said, do you remember, Nick, that you prophesied over me? I said, I don't, bro. He said, well, let me tell you the story. I was in your church and you prophesied over me and you prophesied over your leader. And there I am laying my hands on him to ordain him as an elder. I couldn't even remember the story. Why am I telling you this, brothers and sisters? Because we need the operation of the Spirit. We need to be full of God. We need to be alert to God. And I haven't always done it well. And if we will be full with the Spirit individually and do what we have to do and abide in God, and if we will get to know the Word and know the stories and then operate corporately and be a blessing to Andrew and the elders, God will bless you. Can I pray? Why don't you stand and be happy? So, I mean, I am French and I'm passionate and I'm demonstrative, as you can see, and I'm a lover, and so I'm going to ask you to raise your hands if you're interested. I ask you to raise your hands to the living God, to the all-powerful, all-majestic Jesus who fills the universe, who God has granted that he would be the radiance of God's glory, that God granted him everything. That he would even get the church as his inheritance. That we would be his bride. And so, Lord Jesus, I love this church and I love her people. And I ask you, God, for those that are crackling and saying, something that guy said. What's his name? Doesn't matter what his name is. But he just said something. I pray, God, for the operation of God the Holy Spirit in the lives of people tonight. And I pray, God, for an exquisite anointing personally on the lives of people. I pray, Lord, even though at times we'd feel blindfolded and we'd hear the Spirit, we'd know where to walk. And you're a safe guide. You're a good guide. You'll teach us all things. You will say, actually, get out of there. Get out of there. That's not good. Come back. You will teach us all things. And I pray, God, for Church on Main, a new expression, a new level of the expression of the Spirit of God, the power of God, the dunamos of God, the unity of God, of the Spirit, the unity of the faith, One baptism, one Lord, and an explosion outward of ministries, different ministries into the city, social justice, site plants, new life groups, God. Guys will just, they'll come up and say, listen, I'm a little excited, I'm a little beyond myself, but I want to do this, and you'll listen to the elders, and they'll counsel you, and they'll find their way with the leaders. And God, I pray for the ladies, I come back to them again in my heart. I come back to the ladies in this church. I pray, God, that they would count big time. There are Esthers, there are Ruths, there are Miriams, there are Marys, there are Phoebes. There are countless, there are Priscillas in this house. I pray, God, for something that we've never seen before, something amazing with our ladies, God, that would actually take the kingdom of God and thrust it forward, and the gates of Hades will not advance against the church. So, Lord Jesus, your church and your people, do something extraordinary. Can you put your hands down? I prophesy over this church good things. I prophesy excellent ministries. I prophesy powerful ministries in the nations of the earth. I prophesy and declare outstanding men and women who will rise up with the Bible, full of the Spirit, and do extraordinary things in the name of Jesus, even happening now. There's an operation of the Spirit upon you now, that the gift of faith will come into you now, and you will actually go out of this place. You will not, won't even feel different, but you'll begin to see the change of God in your life. You will be drawn to the Word. You'll be drawn to the Spirit. You'll be drawn to certain things that God will draw you to. The elders will confirm it. Don't go until the elders confirm it, or do until the elders confirm, but you'll see the most amazing things. God, I pray you do it in the name of Jesus. And even though the enemy has tried to snuff out this church, and even though the enemy has tried to throw a spoke in this wheel, and even though the enemy has tried to torpedo this boat, I say in the name of Jesus, this church will prosper. This church will see incredible sons and daughters go out, incredible weddings happening. There'll be the most amazing weddings happening in this church. The most amazing sons and daughters rise up. Even amongst your children, there will be young ones that will rise up. And you'll think, wow, look at this gift. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you do it. Holy Spirit. And together the church says,
amen. You can take your seats. Thanks, Nick. It's a wonderful thing to have the desire to hear God and to want to walk with Him. And I think that's ignited in some people's hearts tonight. Get a glimpse of it. Sometimes nice to hear stories because we identify with them. I think as Nick was starting to prophesy at the end there, I became aware of something I feel like there's going to be some folk who will have a creative preaching gift, that you will make things with words. So your preaching will gather a crowd. It's not like you'll be given a crowd to go speak to, but because you have a preaching gift, people will gather. So often people want leadership or ministry or opportunity, and they're saying, well, give me the people, give me the opportunity, give me the platform, give me the... Some people here are going to be those creating gifts where they will go, and as a result of their ministry, people will gather. You'll form stuff. Things will be gathered around you. I tell you, it's the most needed gift in the church, because there are many who will say, oh, if you give me the people, then I'll teach them, I'll work with them, I'll care for them. But those who go and can pioneer something, that creating gift, Who are they here? Who feels you've got that creating gift? You will preach and things will come together. Why don't you just stand? Here we go. There's one. Stand. You've got a gift to go, and as you go, things will be formed around you. Isn't that wonderful, eh? Isn't that wonderful? You should also stand, Byron. Stood up, my friend. You know that the Lord has called you. You mustn't run from His purposes. Who else? Who else? You're going to go and pioneer things. You know what you don't have enough of in the kingdom? Someone says, actually, the next suburb, I'm going to sell this house and I'm going to go there because our church doesn't have a home group there. I'm going to buy a house there or rent a house there. And by the time I'm finished, neighbors will be saved, will be ready to have a church there. There'll be people gathering to worship the living God. Some of you are called to be worship leaders. The hand of God is upon you, but you just don't have the discipline to go and write the songs, to learn the skills, to stand up. God's put his hand upon you to lead worship. Wonderful. Wonderful. Stand and get writing songs, get leading, take opportunities. Some of you are called to lead home groups. You just haven't stepped forward. Expose yourselves now. Stood up. There we go. There we go. There's got to be more than that. Lord, bring that pillow, Cutty, so I can just kneel on it. Me, I'm going to go preach to the Fynbos. Who else? What are we missing? Aniku, what is God saying? The Lord is summoning people, man. I wish we could dwell on this and have a few Sundays reworking this. So, Miles here has been in ministry many years. He's preached lots. He's been a faithful elder. And we had a meal in our home, and he said to me, a time is coming, we'll do something again. I endorse that. I believe it's right. There's a journey ahead for you. The Lord will open that door. You seek him for it. He's going to take you there. Looks much younger than he is. He's done a lot for the Lord. He's cut CDs which have been sung all over the world. Lord's going to do something wonderful with you, my friend. Right, let's pray. Let's pray with Miles, eh? Sorry, thanks to all the others who are standing. You can sit. Let's come, Miles, come here. Nick, cuts feet. Come, let's pray for Miles. Come. Let's just pray for him. Sometimes it's nice just to take a moment with a person as well and just pray for them. And thank you, Lord, for one of your faithful sons. Served joyfully, served patiently. Thank you, Lord, for a season to refresh, for a season to find your heart and know you. Thank you, Lord, that somewhere up ahead is that fresh opportunity of service, that thing you will point him towards, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that deep in this man is a heart of love, a heart to shepherd, a heart to serve your bride, a heart to hear you, a heart to sing those songs which bring joy upon people's lives, and to speak your word that would touch and love and minister to your people, Lord. Thank you that before us tonight is a true son of yours, Lord. Man who loves your work and loves your ways. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for a deep refreshing upon him tonight, Lord. A deep refreshing, Lord. Scars from years of service, I pray that they would be healed with your balm tonight in Jesus' name. Fresh oil, Lord God. Fresh anointing, Lord God. Father, if any of the wells have been stopped, if they have been blocked, I pray that the debris would go and that clear water would flow. Clear water would flow, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Miles, while Nick was preaching a line that I think maybe of just a throwaway line, but it spoke to me, and I feel it's for you too. He said something about being a smooth stone, and I feel like the years of faithfulness have produced in you a smooth stone, almost like a David in your just your the purity of your heart towards God. And the thing about the smooth stone in David's hand is it seems a very simple thing, but the years of faithfulness, the years and years of serving God faithfully have produced in you a smooth stone. And that one smooth stone affected a powerful, powerful blow to the enemy that changed the history of Israel. And I feel like God is going to use you. There's still a time coming where that smooth stone, where through your faithfulness, he's produced a smooth stone, and you are that instrument in God's hands. And it is going to be used in a time that is going to affect a great blow against the enemy and to establish something in the kingdom.
So I just felt this, that you said, Lord, have you taken your hand off me? And the God said, I haven't taken my hand off you, but my hand is upon you, but I'm calling you. I'm calling you to call upon my name. And my hand is on you, and you felt maybe God has shifted his hand, but God's hand is on you, but he's saying, past is the past, but I'm calling you to a journey, and I want you to call upon my name. And as you call upon my name, and before you didn't have to call upon my name as much, but now he's calling you to call upon his name. And as you call upon his name like you've never called before, you will see amazing things in your life.
Miles, just standing here, I was reminded of Psalm 81, I think it is, where it says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And a little bit further it says, with honey from the rock. And then there's something else, I will satisfy you. And I just felt the Lord say, to have faith and open wide, ask much of the Lord, open wide, wide, wide as you can, your mouth, and he will fill it with good, good things, nourishing things for yourself, your family, for others, with satisfying things, health-giving, life-giving things.
We might see until the mountain.
Thanks, Mars. Thank you. Bless you, man. So, to prophesy over someone, the plan is not exposing, but it's the ministry of the Lord, and I don't know why. Miles to be highlighted tonight, but the hand of the Lord is upon him for his work. So some good people have prepared some meals which are available, and it'd be great to go there. But sometimes when the prophetic comes for one person, it can also touch another person. As the words are being spoken, you think, well, maybe it was for me. Maybe it was for me. It should have been for me. It should have been for me. I have a desire to hear God. I have a desire to do his work. And, well, they're running in case I call them. but God is calling us. So he's calling people in this church. He's putting his hand on people. Step forward and do something for him. I want to urge you, don't wait for someone to come and give you permission to lead others to Christ. He's already called us to do that. Don't wait for someone to give you permission or ask you to tell people about baptism in the Holy Spirit or to get people baptized or to take them to home group or to do Bible studies with people or to pray for people or to take days away where you go and fast and pray and seek the Lord. Just do it. Let's seize the day before we run out of breath in our lungs and the heart stops pumping. Before that happens, let's serve the Lord, man. Amen. Years pass quickly. There's some people who've already put up their hand to do something. You can rally around them. We've got Townsend there on the campus stepping out to do something for the Lord. Students, rally with them. Make it easy. If he says, guys, we're going to try and do this, think to yourself, he says try, but we are going to make that happen. We'll rally with the man. We will run at the wall. We'll climb over it. We'll carry others up. We'll make it happen for the Lord. Amen. Can we do that? Got Grant in the city. People in the city, they don't want God. But I tell you what, when people are there swarming and preaching and doing something together, worshiping, It becomes like a magnet. People get drawn in. Folk in the city make it happen. Some of you need to hear the Lord to go and join in there. Get stuck in and be at their side, welcoming people at the door, praying, starting a home group, trusting God to buy a house in Oranjezicht or in the city bowl somewhere. Not, oh, well, we'll never be able to afford that. We'll have to move out as the suburbs stretch out there. No, trust the Lord. Thank you for coming, Nick, to come and preach and to hear the Lord and minister flying down, etc. Appreciate it.